A High Standard. October 7th, 1909. Typed. I have been instructed that there is need among us of an educational reform. The teachers in our schools are to become learners of the great teacher. They are to act their part in unison with Christ in carrying forward the work of the gospel. Laboring together with God, they will be light bearers. They will seek to reach those who are in need of help. They will reveal the gracious attributes of the divine teacher, and this will enrich and beautify their own lives, and will reveal that they are indeed Christ's disciples. The work represented by the prophet in the 61st and 58th chapters of Isaiah is to be done by all who have a part in educational work. The prophet declares, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. "They that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the branch, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own pleasure, nor doing thine own ways, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Isaiah 58, verse 12 to 14. What encouragement is here given? Let us bear in mind that our work is reformatory, that Satan is watching all our educational advantages, and that we must be wide awake. The standard of excellence is not to be lowered, but is to be constantly raised to a higher, holier level. For through the excellence of the work done through our educational institutions, the attention of many people is to be called to the last great effort being made to present Christ Jesus to save perishing mortals. Let every teacher in our schools be impressed with the fact that to educate children and youth in right principles is the greatest work in which anyone can engage. Let the principles of truth and righteousness be carried into the schoolroom as well as into the meetings where we assemble to worship God. The more closely our work is modeled after the divine similitude, the more our schools will receive and impart the true heavenly wisdom. Satan has used the most ingenious methods to weave in plans and sophistries under the name higher education. It is by a thorough knowledge of the Word of God and by an exemplification of the simplicity of true godliness, which is the highest education, that the students in our schools, the older and the younger, can thwart Satan's devices. Cooperation on the part of parents. Every facility for educating our youth should be highly appreciated by fathers and mothers. We are under solemn covenant to God to educate our children to be subjects of the Lord's kingdom. Parents are to make their children understand that they are bought with a price, and unitedly they are to train and discipline them, not to love the world, but to love the Lord Jesus, to fear God and keep his commandments. A sacred duty rests upon parents to guide their children into paths of strict obedience. True happiness in this life and in the future life depends upon obedience to a Thus Saith the Lord. Parents, let Christ's life be the pattern. Satan will devise every possible means to break down this high standard of piety as one altogether too strict. It is your work to impress upon your children in their early years the thought that they are formed in the image of God. Christ came to this world to give them a living example of what they all must be. And parents who claim to believe the truth for this time are to teach their children to love God and to obey His law. This is the greatest and most important work that fathers and mothers can do. The third angel's message reveals the great saving truth for this time. Its truths are constantly unfolding, and it is God's design that even the children and youth shall understand intelligently what God requires, that they may distinguish between righteousness and sin, between obedience and disobedience.
The great, grand work is now upon us of preparing a people who will be Christ-like in character. Who among us will stand in the great time of test and trial that is before us? Who will enter the pearly gates of the city of God? Let fathers and mothers arouse and do their duty. Stem the current now, just now. Let old and young seek the Lord, seek Him with all the heart, that they may be ready with pure, holy characters to meet Him in peace when He comes. Let parents and children repent and be converted. Of some whose names are on the church books, the Lord declares that unless they repent and become Christ-like in character, they can never enter the gates of the city of God. Let those who profess to be children of God, but who have been untrue to their covenant with Him, consider what they might have done had they been obedient and true. You might have helped others to Christ had you been faithful to your trust. But you have not appreciated as you should those things that are of eternal value. You are not ready to meet your Lord. Eternal life in the city of God is the reward of obedience in the home life. Children are admonished by the apostle to obey their parents in the Lord, to be helpful and submissive. Those who truly love God will not strive for their own way and thus bring unhappiness to themselves and others. They will strive to represent Christ in character. How precious is the thought that the youth who strive against sin, who believe and wait and watch for Christ's appearing, who submit to parental authority, and who love the Lord Jesus, will be among those who love His appearing and who meet Him in peace. These will stand without spot or wrinkle before the throne of God and enjoy His favor forever. They have formed lovely characters. They have guarded their speech. They have not spoken falsely. They have guarded their actions that they should not do any evil thing. And they are crowned with everlasting life. We are living in the very last period of this earth's history. To many, the great day of God will come unexpectedly. Those who have lived regardless of the requirements of the Word of God will find themselves unholy, unsanctified, unready. Let us, as teachers and parents and youth, take advantage of every opportunity to become Christ-like in heart and life. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it unto Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 27.